Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. So I did it, y'all. I finished Bridgerton. The books. I read all 8 in just over 20 days, like 23 days or something like that. Anyway, I was up till like 2:30 a.m. the other night finishing the last book, sobbing my eyes out. And the next day was completely ruined for me because it totally messed up my sleep schedule. But the books are amazing and I highly recommend you read them. I'm going to be going into the Pink Carnation series here in a second that my best friend Sarah told me I needed to read, so that's going to be the next book binge. What are you reading? Tell me what you're reading. I'm always looking for new books. This week was, it's been a long week. If you watched my Instagram live a couple weeks ago, I said that I'm back in school, which I don't know that I've said that on this podcast before, but hey, I'm back in school, decided to go back to college and finally finish out my degree. But this week is finals week for my latest term, and all day today I was working hard on my final projects, and they're done, and Monday a new term starts. So take a couple days of relaxation. Today on the show is Jacques Chevelle. You know him from his new Nickelodeon series Side Hustle, airing Saturday nights. He is a great talent, super, super excited for his future, great career ahead of him. Was really fun to meet him and to talk to him. So here is my conversation with Jacques. Welcome to the show, Jacques.
Hi, hello.
How are you doing on this fine California day?
I am doing great. I'm doing really good. It's nice outside, and I'm happy about that.
I know, it's getting super warm here, which
it is.
It's bizarre.
It's very weird. Like that. Like I'm from Atlanta. My dad is like dealing with all the cold weather. And, you know, what's going on in Texas with all those outages because of the snow, and it's just, like, sunny in California.
I know. It's so bizarre. It's, like, 3 states away, people are literally freezing to death. Yeah. And we're over here like, hey, guys, can we turn the AC on, please?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So tell me a little bit about Side Hustle. You know, I directed Jaden in 2 movies, so I've worked with her.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and she's great. I adore that girl. Tell me about the show and how you got it and, you know, what it's like to be on a Nickelodeon series.
Yeah. So Side Hustle is about 3 best friends who get in a world of trouble when they explode my father's boat. So they got to find different ways to, like, come up with the money to pay my father's boat off, and my character Jagged. He is given the task of making sure the kids get the money in every week. So he goes to extreme lengths to get there. I got the audition with Krisha and Jamie. They're the casting directors at Nickelodeon. They've been with Nickelodeon for a while, and I had been going into their office for a second, and every time I went in, it just like wasn't the right role, it wasn't the right character. But when I had got for Jagged, I was like, oh man, I know this character, like I know this guy, like I know who he is, I can I feel like I got this. And I went in, and then Jamie was like, they're so cool at the office, by the way. They just like, they remember actors and they like keep bringing them in, and there's like, they know, they have faith in you, and they're like, I know there's a part coming, which is so cool. And it's not common in our industry that the casting director.
It's really not. Jamie and Krisha actually casted both my movies too for me.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
Yeah. I love them. They're the best.
They're so great. Yeah. And so when I had walked in, Jamie was like, yeah, I thought about you when I saw this role. And I was like, yeah, I think I got this character. Like, I know this guy. And she said, okay, great, good. So we did the audition. It was right before Christmas, like Christmas break. Of, I think, 2019. And so I went on Christmas break, came back, and then we did the producer session with Dave. And Dave gave me a couple notes here and there. And then next was tests. It was our test with, like, the network. Wow. And I remember on the night, on the day where we had the test, it was, I went in with Isaiah, and I was like, and Jaden and Jules came to read the whole cast, because it was kind of also like a chemistry test too, and the final auditions.
That's so interesting, because usually you do the chemistry read first and then you do the test.
Right. So it was definitely a combination, and I think that's like what's been that has really helped our show. And what makes like sets us apart is that from the day we first met, we all had really good chemistry. I was getting on to the point that when me and Isaiah went in, it was just like we were really bouncing off of each other. We were really feeding off of each other energy. And then they brought in Jaden and Jules, and like the whole cast just like meshed automatically and really quickly. I remember walking, I was talking to Isaiah, I was like, that's cool. I was like, yeah, that was dope. That was fun. And it's like one of those moments where you're like, oh man, that was a really good audition. And you sometimes don't feel that when you go out, when you come out from audition, you're like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. But that you felt like that was one of those moments where you're like, I did really good. That was good. I gave it all I could give for that audition.
Well, and it's one of those things too, especially with, you know, chemistry reads. It's like you can feel it. You can feel when something is just meant to be and when it's just there.
Yeah. So true. That's very true. Yep.
So you got Side Hustle, and you guys are still on your first season. Is that right?
Yes, we are still on our first season. We just recently got picked up for 7 more episodes. So
heck yeah.
Yeah, so we got an extension for our season one.
That's amazing. So tell me what got you into acting? What got you to this point?
I was very, very interested in theater when I was younger. And I got a chance to like perform Shakespeare. My first play was Comedy of Errors, and I had played and Antipholus of Syracuse. I played.
That was your first play? The first thing you tackled was Shakespeare?
Yeah, it was. It was. And it was very scary. And I remember being on stage and just it all feeling right. And I was super excited, because this, for some reason, this production, like this version, we got a chance to put it up at a local theater in Atlanta, which is not normal for like a high school production. So I actually got a chance to like feel out the crowd, the Atlanta theater crowd, and like actually get a genuine experience of what it's all about. And and I had started from there, and then I just continued to pursue it once I went to college and get a part of plays locally and start auditioning.
Did you study acting in college too?
Yes, I studied acting in college. I did actually. I got a chance to do another one of my, because I think you can only audition for plays once you've been at the school for a while, for a second. So my first play going
into, I think my second semester was Comedy of Errors.
Oh my gosh.
And I played and I played a Dromio, and I got to play like the slapstick side of the like the first time I played the straight character, the straight man, and this time I got a chance to play like the comedy guy, the funny guy.
How fun.
Very slapstick. Yeah.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to college at Santa Monica College. Yeah.
I did when I first started to go to college many moons ago. It's been a long journey for me. I went to Santa Monica and I loved it. I thought it was it's just a great campus too.
It is.
And I feel like everybody just is so welcoming and so happy there. Maybe it's because you're close to the beach. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so cool going to that school because you are extremely close to the beach. And like sometimes after rehearsals or after a play, we would go to the beach and like the whole cast would get together and like have a bonfire.
Yeah, because like,
You might as well. Exactly. It's a very cool experience. It's honestly really great.
So did you go for 2 years or did you go for 4 years?
I went for 2 years and I was planning on transferring, but I end up getting this project, so it's all got on the hold.
Yeah, I feel it. I had gone for, I think I had gone for like a year and a half, and then I had booked something, and I was like, well, I gotta take this. So then I never finished my 2 years there. I did go like several years later to try to do something else, and then I completely just failed that class, and it was the first time I did not do well in a class, and just was like, okay, well, I'm not doing this anymore because I can't do it right now. Life doesn't want me to. Duh. I'm back in school though. It was a philosophy class, but here's the deal.
Oh, okay.
It was philosophy online, and it was like online class in, 2016 is a heck of a lot different than online class in 2021 now. Like it was not a nice software. No. Nothing happened on there that looked good. It was just so stressful. Like just looking at the website made you want to like cringe.
Yeah, I fully understand. 2020 and 2021 has really kind of pushed schools to actually update those sites because they're kind of like working at a thing where it's like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Right. Except all the students are like, yo, but it's broke.
Yeah, it's broke. It's broke. It is. It very is. You have to be like extremely hustling to it's actually, it ends up being more work taking an online class than
versus. Although I finally decided to go back to college and finish a degree. So I started again last October and I'm going to SNHU. And I tell you, it is such a big change and it's so much easier. And like you can only take two classes a term, which I would love to take more, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, it's so simple compared to, it's still obviously learning and work, but it's so simple compared to what online classes used to look like.
Really, really.
Yeah, so if you want to go on school, check out SNHU.
Okay, all right.
It's great.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey, so you you go to Santa Monica. Are you doing auditions then too? Are you doing, you know, both things at the same time? Or did you kind of just take those 2 years to focus on class?
So I am, what I'm doing currently?
No, when you were in Santa Monica College, were you going auditions as well?
Yes, I was. Okay. I was doing that very much the actor thing where I worked like 3 different jobs, mm-hmm. working on plays, auditioning, and then I had a night shift at what's that surname? Bed Bath & Beyond.
Nice.
Yes, I had a night shift there, and I was very much. I honestly, when I think back, I was like, I don't know how I did it. I was like, I don't know where I found the time to do all that stuff, but
it's adrenaline.
Yeah.
Pure adrenaline. Hey, Bed Bath & Beyond is a great store. They closed the one next to me and I'm very upset.
Oh no. Yeah. They're going through some changes right now.
They are.
Yeah.
So when you talk about being on Side Hustle, you really know the hustle.
I really do. I do. I honestly do. I know it. Like, I feel like that is the badge of honor for actors, like, yeah. Once they move to LA, is that grind and that doing so many odd jobs and having so many balls in the air and just like figuring out how to get it all done.
It's true. And now with this big gig economy, it's just like, oh, I'll do some Postmates. Oh, I'll walk some dogs. I'll do this. Yep. I'll do that. I'll do whatever. I mean, but it does make it a little bit easier for actors, because the thing that I've always struggled with is when you have a regular job, it's like, how am I going to leave for an audition at a moment's notice?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why I had a night shift, because I was like, I that's the only time I knew I had available. Yeah. So I was like, I'd do the night shift and then I would do exactly what you're doing. I would watch dogs and do mm-hmm. Postmates or like Uber or something on the side, just to like be able to audition throughout the week.
Oh man, don't we just love being artists? The things we put ourselves through.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me about this short film you did called Sex Digits. It was at the AT&T Create-a-thon competition.
It was somebody I met at SMC at Santa Monica College. And it was just like someone recommended me. He's like, oh, this guy's really funny. I think he'd be a good addition to the cast. And mm-hmm. we end up shooting. They had rented out an office somewhere downtown and we shot. It was like a day shoot. And we end up winning first place. I was like, oh, wow, that's nice. So I was like, dope, cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. Is it out anywhere that people can watch it? Do you know?
I remember seeing it, but I don't know where it is now. I've looked.
It's okay. Like, we'll do a deep dive.
I've looked for it, but I haven't found it anywhere. I know I saw the creator or the director of that one. He was at UCB and he was doing something over there. And he's like, yeah, like I'm still like creating new stuff.
So you're so early in your career. I mean, you have so much ahead of you. What do you want to do in the future? Obviously, you're on Nickelodeon now, but where do you see yourself maybe in 10 years?
Hopefully, I would love to have my own production company and be able to like make some of the stories that I'm passionate about. Mm. That'd be amazing. That'd be
I mean, and it's definitely possible, especially with things nowadays. Anybody can make their own content as long as you find somebody to fund it.
Right. Exactly.
Do you want to direct or write, or do you want to tackle all of it?
I want to try it all. I had an experience over the quarantine where I got a chance to like kind of play some of those roles. And I was like, man, I would love to like go more in depth in like sound and like set design. And I would love to like be able to explore some more things in that field and be able to go in depth. And I enjoyed it. I was like, well, this was fun. It was like a really fun experience.
Well, because when you're on that side of the camera, it really feels like you are, because as an actor, obviously we're the story, right? We say the story words, we play the characters that are written. But when you're on the other side, it really feels like you're contributing in an artistic way.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It's just such a different feeling.
It is. The crazy thing, I wasn't expecting that. I was like, I found like something really special while working on it. And I want to explore it.
Well, I wish you luck. And I hope that you get to do all of those things, because it's fun and it's great. And you get to create. And the best part about it, when you're young and you have so much ahead of you, is that you can create with your friends too. And that
is
what makes it fun.
Yes, it's so true. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So on this show, we like to share stories of auditions that have either gone awry, or funny auditions, or things that you almost got that you really wanted. Do you have an audition story like that?
Yes, I was just thinking about one. It was because I was bringing up that, like, I had that overnight job, and I had a audition, like, right when I got off work. I worked, like, 8 hours, and I would get off. Got off at like 7, and the audition was, I think it was like at 9 in Hollywood. I was in Culver City.
Oh my.
Yeah. And I was taking the bus at that time. I was taking
the God, that makes me worse.
Yes. And I was like, I know I got exactly 2. I think I might have taken an Uber that night, because I don't think I would not have gotten there. Maybe I don't know.
There's no way. I remember as a kid once, my mom and I tried to take the bus from like Santa Monica to an audition in Hollywood, and it took like 4 hours.
Yep.
Like, you just can't do it.
And that's not an exaggeration.
No, it's not. It's not. Like, for people who don't live in LA, it's not.
That's it. You would take, I would assume you take the Wilshire, the 20 bus. I think that's the bus that goes all the way to Santa Monica to.
I remember it being blue. That's all I got.
Oh, okay. Maybe the big blue bus.
That's it. Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's not an exaggeration. That's very true. I took some type of transportation to get there, and I was working on No Sleep. It was a Marvel audition, and
oh my God. Was
on top of that. It was just like, it was one of my biggest auditions that I've ever gotten. And I was like, oh my God. So I was also kind of anxious about the audition.
Right.
So I go in the room working on zero sleep, and I'm anxious. So I kind of have coffee energy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, you know, a little jittery, and you're like, yes, I'm fine.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I have that type of energy. And I go in the room, and the sides are like this. You have to like, it was like this big beginning where like, it was like a, like, the character was doing something before his lines.
Okay.
And so I go in the room, and she's like, are you ready? I was like, yeah, like, I'm ready. And then I just start. And I start pantomiming. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. I pantomime for, like, probably a good second. Probably too long, honestly. It was too long. I start my scene. The casting director says, stop.
Oh no.
And I get scared. And she said, you cannot take that long at the beginning of a scene. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, sorry, yeah, okay. Let's run it back. Let's do it again. And this that scared the it was,
yeah.
I had so much anxiety about the audition already, because I was just like, man, this is like a big role. Like, this is, it would be insane to get this. Like, I was already just like So when that happened, it kind of like caught me off guard, and I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Oh no!" I was like, "Okay."
And it's right, so hard to get your cool back after something like that. Like, you can't do
you
it.
You are not all like it's impossible. I've never had a time where I've like where like something like has messed up, and then like I go back and try to fix it. I've never had that experience where I've been able to.
You're like in your head at that point. You can't do anything about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did it again, and it was kind of like it was kind of dull. And then she said, "Thank you for coming in." And you hear those words, you're like, you're like, "Okay, all right, cool. Thank you."
Yep.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Literally, that's why I named the show "Thanks for Coming In." I've heard it too many times.
That's
what you get, man.
You know.
I know. Oh man, that's awful. I feel for you, especially when it's something like that where it's like before you even read the sides, you see Marvel and you're like, oh
yeah.
Oh, this is life-changing things. Because there's so many auditions that you go on that are like, you know, a guest spot or a small part in a movie or whatever that you know that's not going to change the course of your life, really. But when you see something like Marvel in an audition, you're like, oh, sorry, what? You want me to do what now? Really? Is it my time?
Yep.
Oh, man. Goodness gracious. I like that she just said, stop.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, I have enjoyed talking to you so much. Where can people follow you on social media?
So you can find me on Instagram at Jacques Chevel. Also Twitter is Jacques Chevel. I have a TikTok. I have no TikToks out, but I have a TikTok. Eventually I'll put one up.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was so great to talk to you, and I can't wait to see all the things that you do with your career because you have such a bright future ahead of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Jacques for being on the show today. Again, I'm so excited to see what he does in the future. He is so funny. If you haven't watched Side Hustle, it's a really cute show. It's on Nickelodeon, Saturday nights, 8:30, I believe. Really great. Tune in and watch him. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it right now. You can also follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. Tune in next week where I will be speaking with somebody else. And until then, thanks for coming in.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side path?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you. Find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.